It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
Halloween. I love Halloween. This is the Thriller video, 1983, Nathan? 83?
I want to say 83. Yeah.
83, yeah. So they're doing the dance at the beginning, the zombie dance, which is still very, very popular.
82.
Today, 82. 42 years later, the Thriller zombie dance still holds up. You'll still see it all the time. I love Halloween. I always have my whole life. I get the sense, Nathan, you enjoy Halloween. Is that correct?
I love Halloween. I'm not, you know, the big guy's going to be going out in my costumes. I'm not huge into dressing up, but I just like the entire surrounding it, everything about it, candy, movies, the horror in general. I think it's fantastic. Even music. I mean, it's probably next to Christmas, of course. It's probably got the biggest wide variety of music for a holiday, I'd
imagine.
Yeah,
sure. So. I was listening to X-Men on 94.7 this morning, and he was playing like all these scary songs and everything, including Thriller. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, Thriller is obviously the most iconic.
Right. We'll take your phone calls. We're going to have some fun today. We're going to talk some scary movies. Yes, Penn State versus Ohio State often turns into a scary movie.
Yeah, scary matchup right there.
How about that for a professional radio segue?
That's perfect.
But we'll get some Penn State, Ohio State thoughts and everything. I will open up the phone lines, 946-0435. What's your favorite scary movie? What's your favorite candy, either just in general or for Halloween? Should adults be trick-or-treating? Like, do you ever get too old to trick or treat? But I'm sitting here watching the Thriller video again. It's 1982, and I do feel sorry for younger people who have grown up with CGI and special effects and all that stuff, because this is nothing. This kind of thing. The Thriller video from 1982. You asked me a trivia question a couple months ago about the most watched video on MTV in the 80s. It's Sledgehammer, mm-hmm, by Peter Gabriel. That was so unbelievably earth shattering. Thriller was earth shattering. There's a making of Thriller video that's like one of the most popular videos in MTV history. I want to say this cost $2 or $3 million. John Landis directed this or produced it. He was a very famous director. So back in the 80s, to get something like that in a music video or to get Sledgehammer, nowadays you can do anything. Anybody can make a video with their phone. But the Thriller video was so iconic; it was on constant repeat on MTV once it really hit popularity. And I just remember always being blown away. They turned a song into a movie. Mm-hmm. This is so cool.
I will say that's probably one of the most iconic videos of all time. You think about Michael Jackson wearing that red suit, iconic. The dance. I mean, something that my generation—I guarantee everybody's seen it. My generation, at least, if you know what the internet is, you should have seen it before. Everybody knows. I mean, the Michael Jackson outfit is a very popular Halloween costume. It's found its way into pop culture for the rest of the time, that Michael Jackson, and it's just an iconic song and even more iconic dance and video.
As I mentioned earlier, Penn State, Ohio State often turns into a scary movie for Penn State fans. James Franklin is 1-9 against Ohio State. I gave my pick yesterday. I've got Penn State losing 30-20. I just think that the defense is nowhere near good enough compared to like last year, and I just have issues concerning the offense. Are they going to be able to do a whole lot? What's your pick, Nathan? I don't think you've been able to do that yet.
I'll save my pick for a little bit later.
Not doing the pick yet.
But I'll give you kind of a breakdown of my head of where I'm at right now, because I think Ohio State, the way this is trending for Ohio State, is these last 2 weeks have been abysmal. You go to Oregon, you lose, or I guess last 3 weeks, but last two games. You go to Oregon, you lose that game, in which that's a game they should have won the entire time, and they just blew it right at the end between special teams mistakes and then, of course, the Will Howard terrible, terrible slide, terrible decision right there. So right there, you know, that it's been a rough couple weeks, and they want to get that taste out of their mouth. And of course, Nebraska last week, they were on the ropes there until 4 minutes left in the game, and then, I mean, there was a targeting call that almost somehow gave Nebraska a win. But I think Ohio State's offensive line is that left tackle position. That's a rotating door. I think that's a very big issue, especially it's the blind side right there. I think the Ohio State team is – everything is going south for them, but here's the problem. They're still so talented. They got Caleb Downs on defense, which I'd imagine is going to be matched up with Tyler Warren a ton. You got – you know, the running game hasn't been effective, especially against Nebraska. That was the biggest problem. And you're going up against a running defense in Penn State, which, you know, has been doing pretty solid recently, I'd say. So if Will Howard can move the ball offensively, I think they'll be just fine. But, I mean, if they can't establish a running game and Penn State can kind of hone in on the passing game – it's going to be interesting to see. But then on the flip side of Penn State, obviously quarterback health is the big thing. Drew Aller, we don't know what his health and his status is right now. Right now, as it looks, I'd imagine he goes Saturday. I can't imagine he's going to sit out. He's a gamer. He's going to want to play. Franklin is going to lean towards him, I think. I think we'll see heavy doses of Probola in, though, especially now that we know that he can pass the ball a little bit more. You know, you kind of dice it up with the legs and stuff as well, the read options and the triple options even where he can tuck in and run. So that's interesting as well. I think their defense – their secondary, I think, is going to struggle. People do. If you do not know Jeremiah Smith's name right now from Ohio State, if you have been living under a rock, that kid is, I think, is going to be, you can give him a gold jacket now. He is insane. He's one of the best wide receivers I've ever seen play football. He's incredible, and I think Penn State secondary is going to struggle with him, but if their pass rush can get there, that offensive line is not going to give him enough time, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I like all that, especially the part about can they get to Will Howard, because he completes. You ready for this? This is the way to beat Penn State. This is always the way to beat Penn State. This is not the only way to beat Penn State, but you're generally not going to beat Penn State if you cannot throw the ball. Will Howard is completing 74% of his passes. And
crazy efficient for a college quarterback.
That is they don't have a great running game. So I've got 30-20. Nathan will give his score a little bit later on. We're going to talk some scary movies. We've been saving this. If you want to join in, 946-0435. I'm going to go first because I'm older. I probably have maybe a little more history of watching a lot of great scary movies in the 70s and 80s and that kind of thing. To me, my favorite scary movie has really always been, and we were just talking about the series a little earlier before the show, the Halloween series. Halloween 2 is my favorite scary movie. I don't really care a lot for Halloween 1. I've never been a huge fan of Halloween 1. I want to see more action. I don't think there's a lot. Halloween 1 is all suspense. It's all build up. I mean, they're telling the story, and he's walking around the neighborhood. There's not a whole heck of a lot going. Halloween 2, he's just killing people left and right. He's stabbing a nurse in the eye. He's killing a woman in a hot tub in the hospital. Jamie Lee Curtis is walking around, barely crawling around the hospital. It's nonstop action in Halloween 2. I love Halloween 2.
So I think Halloween 2 is one of the most underrated horror movies of all time. I think Halloween 3, too, even though it does have Michael Myers in it, we were just talking about that, too, but it's a crazy underrated movie. But
happy Halloween, Halloween,
That song
Halloween.
Is very annoying. Song's very annoying.
Season of the Witch, yeah.
Very, very good movie. But I think the original Halloween, in my opinion, is the greatest horror movie of all time. It kind of set the ground. I think you should look. It set the groundwork for everything to come after it. You know, you had Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, that kind of followed that same slasher genre, and there's plenty of other examples of that, even to current day. Still a lot of inspiration from that original Halloween. I think it was so well done on a low budget. I don't know. The fact that it takes place in a small towns, I think it really enhances it. It makes it feel like it could happen here in Altoona, and something like that could happen. I don't know. I think it's perfectly well done. The soundtrack, too, iconic. You know, you think Halloween, you think of that soundtrack as well. I think the original Halloween is the greatest. It's my second greatest movie of all time. I think
of any genre. Wow.
I think it's that
That's
good.
That's wild for a 20-year-old to say that about a 1978 movie.
Yes. So my first, and it will probably always be my first, is The Shawshank Redemption.
Okay.
I think that's the greatest movie
enough.
Ever made. Then that's, I think what makes it so fun to watch is, number one, it's a shorter movie. It doesn't take forever to watch. It's like 90 minutes.
Yep.
That's fantastic to me. I love shorter movies. I love when it gets kind of straight to the point. And like you said, it is a little slow on the action part, but if you look in the background, you can just see him always sneaking around. There's that one scene where he's driving, like, Loomis is looking around, and he comes right around the corner in the car. So funny.
I see a post, I think it's from Super 70s, I can't remember, somewhere on Twitter, like, if these freaking people just would have listened to Loomis,
yes.
Like, how many people's lives could have been saved if they would have just listened to Loomis the whole way?
Exactly. One of my favorite scenes from it is whenever Lori's like crying outside the bedroom and you just see Michael just slowly get up.
The camera work, the stuff is great. She's hiding in the closet. All that stuff is great.
Yes, it is. It is so. And then we were talking about this because I don't think you saw it. You said you saw the 2018 one, right?
I did not see
it. Oh, my God. There's so much parody between the two. Oh, man. It's so good. And you, whenever you watch that 2018 one, you just get flashbacks to the 78 one. It's so well done. 78 is going to be the best, in my opinion, forever.
946-0435. You want to talk some scary movies. When is it appropriate for a child to watch scary movies? Today's Halloween. We're going to be trick-or-treating. No school tomorrow in the Altoona School District. My kids are 12, Nathan. I am toying with the notion, the idea of having them stay up late tonight and watch the original Halloween. Because, I don't consider it just unbelievably scary. There's no way in the world my kids are watching Nightmare on Elm Street, Part 1. That movie will freak you the hell out because kids and sleep and dreams and all that. And, again, I watched all these movies when I was like 11, 12 years old, early 80s on cable. And I kind of wish I hadn't. But when is it appropriate? And you got to know your kids. Some kids are very, very mature and aren't scared of anything at 8, 9 years old. My daughter's kind of that way. My son, I don't know that I can show him a scary. So when is it appropriate? When did you start watching some of these scary movies?
Okay, so I feel like I don't have a good grip on this because I was shown scary movies probably 5 or 6 years old by my grandparents because they were huge into Halloween.
That is terrible grandparenting.
I love my grandparents. I think it's fantastic.
Mamaw and Papaw.
It's fantastic. Grandma and Pat. I love it. I love that they did
Grandma
that to me.
Grandma and Pat, you're watching scary movies when the kid's 5 years old.
He loved it, and I loved it too. And
see, I watched The Exorcist at 8, so I can't really. I mean, because my mom, we had free cable, so I was watching. So I'm not right there, not 5 or 6, but I'm right there with you.
I think I might be a little too young, because I know my parents were ticked whenever they were not happy. But I think it's fine. Once I feel like you gotta know the kid. I'd say most kids probably anywhere between 10 and 12. I'd say around, well, it depends what you're watching. Like the original Halloween, I think it's fine to go from like 10 years old. But if you're watching like, you probably never seen it, but the Terrifier movies.
I have not. I had never heard of the Terrifier movies until like Terrifier 3 came out.
Yes.
Are they good?
Oh my God, they're fantastic.
Now, are they scary, jump scares, killing? See, this thing, if you're talking about kids, it comes down to, there's gruesome stuff in Nightmare on Elm Street, and he's attacking your dreams, which is something all kids can relate to when they're going to bed. Halloween, I never considered Friday the 13th and Halloween to be overly realistic. You're talking about just one guy. He's walking around. We're never going to go to Camp Crystal Lake. But to me, in terms of scariness from a kid factor, The Exorcist, That would freak kids out to see the girl's head spin around. But Friday 13th, Halloween, I don't necessarily think of those as things that would just mortify kids.
Yeah, I don't think those are too bad. I think the Exorcist to me freaked me out when I watched it. I think that's a pretty scary movie. I'm going to show you kind of what the Terrifier thing. You can kind of use your imagination.
I've seen that.
Yeah, it's you see where he's cutting?
Yeah.
Pretty wild. That's so, why, like, that might be more like 14 to 16 area.
Yeah, right.
Because, I mean, that's pretty gruesome. There's, if you want to look up the bedroom scene in Terrifier 2, that is insane.
And let me say something kind of R-rated right here, okay? In the 80s, when a lot of these movies came out, it was just standard protocol to have one scene of gratuitous. If kids are listening, please turn the radio off. You know what I'm talking about. They're in all 80s movies have one scene of gratuitous, you know, showing something that, and you look back on them now, you're like, why? What was the point of even showing that? But they kind of all had to. So if you're watching that with a kid nowadays, that can be pretty awkward.
Yeah, that's the one thing. Those scenes, it's pretty awkward to watch, especially if you got older adults. Now, if you're with your friends or whatever, it's funny, but if you're with your adult, like, parents, grandparents, whatever, it's a little strange to watch that kind of stuff, but, I mean, it's a part of humanity to me.
All right, I got Rob in Bedford. What's up, buddy? How you doing, man?
How's it going, guys?
What's
Happy
going
Halloween.
On? Thanks, buddy. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I was just gonna jump in on your Halloween discussion you were having.
All right, what's your what line of scary movies do you like? You more of the old school stuff, the newer stuff like Terrifier and all, Annabelle and that whole Conjuring universe?
Conjuring is so good. Conjuring's good.
Well, I wanted to talk about the Halloween franchise because I agree with you. Part two is also my favorite, and it's probably because it was the first one that I saw.
Me too. Me too. Part two was the first one I saw as well.
That's weird that a lot of you guys didn't watch the original.
Aliens. I saw Aliens 2 before Alien. I don't even like Alien. I think Alien is... Yeah, go ahead.
I saw Jaws 2 before I saw Jaws 1. We had that talk before. But Halloween, I will agree with you that it is the best, and it has far more action. But there's a lot of people, and there's legs to this theory, and I kind of agree with it. It's also the installment where they officially ruined the entire franchise forever without a chance to recoup. Now, they've made reboots, and they've made sequels, and then they've also abandoned previous chapters, which is what they did with the 2018 reboot, which I like that. They needed to get rid of a lot of the mess that they created over the years. But in part two, the fatal mistake, and John Carpenter absolutely hated it himself, when they added too much information. The whole allure, the whole greatness about the Michael Myers story is there is no reason. There is no cause. You don't know why he functions the way that he does. See, Jason Voorhees, he had a backstory. He drowned. He was born with deformities. He had a crazy mother. Like with Michael Myers, it was literally no reason. But then when they disclosed that it was his sister who Laurie Strode was, it was like, are you kidding me? Now there's an explanation for everything.
So is that right? I'm trying to think. They didn't disclose that Laurie was his sister until part two?
Part two, yeah.
Right?
It was in the hospital.
Two. It was whenever they were in the
car. That's right, yeah, okay.
The governor ordered Dr. Loomis out of the case.
Why does that bother you? I think that's pretty good. I don't think it is.
I'm agreeing with Rob. I don't think it is.
Because he doesn't have motive. He doesn't have feelings. He doesn't have reason to like get even with anyone. He's just a sick killer, and that's how part one was. And then part two, they shoehorned it in, is what they did. It was in the back of the cop car, and it was a nurse that said that there was a secret sealed file that the doctor on the case for 15 years never even knew of.
So
that's where you're getting into some serious plot holes.
So I was not aware of this. I stopped watching them after like five maybe. So Nathan was informing me that there's further iterations where he's not her brother. Is that right?
Yeah, the 2018
one. That's what I said. They ended up rewriting chapters. Like the 2018 trilogy, they rebooted with Halloween, Halloween Kills, Halloween Ends. They pretty much abandoned everything after part one. Like even part two didn't happen. So they kind of corrected it. But for years and years, they had, I mean, come on. Part four and part five was his niece that he's chasing around, a little 8-year-old girl trying to kill her.
Right.
I thought they were good movies. I just thought they were crappy storylines. I liked the mystery. That's why the credits says The Shape in part one. It doesn't say Michael Myers because he's literally just a figure.
Interesting. Good stuff. Any other movies you want to throw out there, man?
Well, I'm not a whole lot younger than you, so I grew up I liked the 80s horror movies, even the ones that were cheesy. You know, some of them were scary, some of them were, I love the Return of the Dead movies, Night of the Living Dead. I mean, when you're a little kid, it's terrifying. You watch it now, it's kind of comical, so I'm kind of a, you know, kid of the 80s, and 80s horror is my go-to for Halloween.
All right, buddy. Good stuff, man. Yeah, I, you know, for some reason, I haven't seen Halloween 2 in probably 15 years. I'd forgotten that it was not until, as he's mentioning, in the scene in the cop car that they mentioned that. I'd totally forgotten that they didn't address it in part one.
Yeah,
whenever you're
watching those movies, I think you need to watch them consecutively, back-to-back, because it's basically one long movie cut into two separate ones, because it's the same exact night.
Same
thing. I think you need to watch him back. But yeah, I think the second one, whenever they revealed that it was his sister, I think, because like he was saying, the motive, you didn't know what it was, because, I mean, in the first one, it's probably because all these kids are doing the deeds, and, you know, he saw his sister, because the entire theory is he saw his sister do it young, and he must have had something with it.
Well,
so.
The Rob Zombie, which we're not going to get into a lot, but the Rob Zombie, when they do explain, they spend a lot of time on young Michael
Myers.
It's
a lot of backstory.
It's a lot of backstory. They have the broken home, the abusive like stepfather, kids beaten up at school, that kind of stuff. He's just kind of, and that they give you psychological background on how he could actually become.
Yeah. So, but the
crazy.
First one that why I think it's so great is because there's no backstory. All you know is he killed his sister 15 years before this incident happened and he escaped. That's all you know. Say he's been in this sanitarium or asylum for 15 years, and then boom, Halloween night, he's going after these babysitters. Like,
what was he doing like on October 30th?
He's probably just chilling in there.
Ian and Altoona, what's up, man? How you doing?
How's it going, guys?
What's going on? What kind of scary movies you like, man?
All right, so just want to comment. I think the scariest one out there is still The Exorcist, and there I have a backstory behind that because Nate, you might have been a little young. I mean, we're not too far apart, but whenever YouTube was starting to get big, there was kind of, it's called the jump scare era. So people would make those videos and there would be pop-ups in them. Stuff like that. I don't know if you ever watched any of those.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
But one of the big ones out there is the Scary Maze game. Maybe on the break have Corey play it, see how he likes it. But anyway, so you pretty much you play it in that, and eventually the face of the Exorcist pops up. And my sister and I clicked on that when we were little. I was like six, eight, right?
Yep.
That lived in my mind still to this day.
Notice the trend. Like us all, we all have these horrifying stories of watching this stuff as little kids. And it shapes you. It's burned on your brain.
Right. And the craziest part is that how it was so accidental. Like you had no idea it was going to happen. We're like, oh, okay. So there's always just been something about that movie that I just stay away from, still gives me the creeps. I can watch any other one, and, you know, that can be creepy, that can be a little scary, but nothing like The Exorcist. But I wanted to add to what Nate was saying with the Terrifier movies. You brought up the bedroom scene. I would argue that the one you probably showed Corey in the first one is worse than the second one in the bedroom scene because when you get into that one without spoiling it, it kind of gets a little corny or a little fake. I mean, obviously it's all fake, but it depends how you perceive it, I guess. I haven't seen the third one. Nate, have you seen the third one?
I haven't seen the third one yet. I'm kind of waiting for it to come on streaming. I'm probably just going to watch it there.
It's out in theaters now, right?
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff, Ian.
That's one of those. Yep, thank you, Corey.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, man. That's great. I love these. These are some of my favorite discussions. Tom and Gallitzin, what's going on, Tom? How you doing?
Hey, Corey, doing pretty good. I grew up watching Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
Yep.
Those movies petrified me, and they still do. I don't know what it was. And I don't know if you remember, they used to have a show, too.
Yeah.
Like a TV show.
Yep.
Do you remember that?
I remember.
And,
go ahead.
The music, like, to this day, like, it gives me chills just thinking about it. Like, the dude gets you in your dreams, you know? So I kind of grew up watching those movies. I thought those were some of the best ones.
How old were you?
12.
See, and that's the thing. We can talk about Friday the 13th. We can talk about Halloween. We can talk about the Scream movies. None of that stuff is going to happen to a kid.
Yeah.
Kids aren't going to... It's not realistic, really, you think, knock on wood.
It's very overblown.
But the dream thing, that's why, to me, Nightmare on Elm Street was so enduring. All kids go to sleep. All kids have dreams. That's how you F up a kid, a young kid.
That was a problem for me.
Scaring them to death when they go to sleep, when they already think there's monsters in the closet and all that stuff.
Yeah, I remember watching, I don't know which one it was, and I'm thinking, like, man, this guy gets you in your dreams? Like this is out of control.
You're done.
And I couldn't sleep for like days. And then growing up, you know, it's not as bad. But then when he came out, it was the Freddy versus Jason. Do you remember that?
Unfortunately, I mean, it was a little, what the hell? I don't understand why we have to do those kinds of things. I watched Freddy versus Jason. It was so stupid. You know, one is like a demon, and the other one is just Michael Myers is just a person. Jason Voorhees is just a person. You can kill a person. A guy that's living in your dreams, you're not killing that guy.
You can't get him. Yeah, I'll tell you what, the newer, I guess they made the newer Freddy movie and the newer Jason movie, but I like you know, Freddy. But I think the newer, like, Friday the 13th movie was a little bit better. I think it was, like, 2013, 2014
yeah,
it came
yeah.
out.
All right, cool.
Yeah,
good stuff.
It was a little bit better.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for the call. We got to take a break. We're way overdue, but we'll have some more fun with this after the break.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
At Shoofly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoofly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoofly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoofly's fit specialists, visit their website, shooflystores.com. Your feet will thank you.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn Mowers and Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
Hello, I'm Bud Blackie from J&P Auto Mart. Back in 2008, I transferred from the old Bud Mart to J&P Auto Mart. That's right, I've been at J&P Auto Mart selling pre-owned automobiles in Central PA for over 12 years.
J&P Auto Mart is Blair County's largest pre-owned auto outlet. Over 150 units to choose from. Experienced with all types of credit and all forms of income. The creativity to get the deal done.
That's no joke. We're serious about putting you behind the wheel of a quality pre-owned vehicle. So come in and see me, Bud Blackie, at J&P Auto Mart.
Apply online at jnpautomart.com or phone 944-5338.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop, opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
Wow, you look amazing. What have you been doing?
I'm sure you've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and the other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, I found this great company called Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe medications like Ozempic and Wegovy and other GLP-1 medications that are 80 to 90% less expensive, all 100% online.
I can get GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% less and do it all online? No doctor's office or pharmacy?
Yes. Zelthy can provide semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s, but for 80 to 90% less and shipped directly to your door.
How do I get started with Zelthy?
Just send them a text.
Text TURN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelthy. Get the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less and 100% online. Don't wait. Text TURN to 200-300 right now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text TURN to 200-300. That's TURN to 200-300. TURN to 200-300.
We'll talk some football in a bit. I love the Halloween stuff. Nathan and I have been talking about this for 3 weeks. He's wanted to talk about all these scary movies for 3 weeks. So we spent a lot of time on the Halloween franchise. If you want to join us, 946-0435, give me a handful of other of your go-to scary movies.
All right, so I looked up popular horror movies on the Google, and I have picked out some that I think people, if you haven't seen Midsommar, I consider it a horror movie. It's very much more of a mystery type thing, but it's a horror movie because this thing is crazy. Came out in 2019. It is one of the freakiest movies you'll ever see.
Okay, so it's psychological
it's
kind of thing?
It's very psychological. Right. Speaking of psychological, Get Out. Get Out is a fantastic movie. I love Get Out.
I enjoy Get Out. I hated that follow-up, Nope. That movie was horrendous.
Yes, I agree with you.
It was absolutely garbage from Jordan Peele.
Yeah, Scream, of course, is amazing. Texas Chainsaw Massacre in 74s. That might be really the first true great. I mean, Psycho was obviously the kind of the first big one.
Yeah, Texas Chainsaw Massacre still holds up to this day.
Absolutely.
I mean, you talk about really, really scary and gruesome, and imagine getting trapped in some tiny little town.
That's a real story, too.
Allegedly. Yeah.
The 2022 one, I wasn't a big fan of that. I watched that on, I think, Netflix last year. It's pretty bad. I didn't like that one too much. Hereditary. I don't know if you heard anything about this. Mm-mm. This movie is insanely crazy. It is a freaky movie. Like, I'm not trying to spoil anything, but I checked all the corners of my room because of that movie.
You mentioned, we were talking briefly earlier about the Conjuring series. That's one of the most profitable movie series. I think there's like six or seven of these, Conjuring and Annabelle and all that stuff. I've never seen any of them. Yes. Are they worthwhile? So, you have to watch a lot of them.
So I've seen the first Conjuring, and I've seen two of the Insidious. I haven't seen Annabelle's or anything like that.
I saw one Insidious.
Have you seen the first one?
The first one, yes.
Remember that scene, that huge jump scare?
Yes,
that's one of the best jump scares I've seen in a long time.
Yes, I remember
time.
That. That's what I remember about. I don't really remember much about the movie. It's with Patrick Wilson and Rose Byrne.
But whenever right behind him, you're like,
yes, that was great. God.
That couldn't have been better timing, the way it was going. Like, you weren't expecting it, and all of a sudden, boom.
I'm not necessarily looking to latch on to five or six or seven movies. I don't want to see Scream 5, 6, 7. I just don't. I give me one movie. You know, Saw 1 was great. I guess there are like eight of them now or whatever the hell. I don't even know.
Oh, there's 10. I think there's
10. Oh, there's 10, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Trick or Treat. Trick or Treat's a good movie. Came out in 07. It's a nice little, that might be one for your kids. They might like that. It's not too gruesome at all. Actually, I take it back. Maybe not yet. Silence of the Lambs is one of my favorite movies of all time. I consider that a horror movie.
Halloween horror movie, though? Interesting.
I consider it a horror movie because it's creepy. It's
eerie. Did you know that in the books, and I only found this out a few years ago, in the books, they were a couple. Did you know this crap?
Who, Hannibal Lecter and Jodie Foster's character?
Yeah.
I did not know that. That is
Clarice Starling.
Clarice Starling, yes.
I'm not trying to give spoilers to anybody, but this ruins the whole damn thing for me. That, like, later on, after they've worked together, they become lovers.
That's a little strange.
Oh, my God. I mean, if you think about what made Silence of the Lambs so great with Anthony Hopkins and Jodie Foster, if you think about whatever respect you have for her, that she's going to be swindled in and become a lover of this person? Oh, my God. I found this out like 4 years ago, and it's like it literally ruined the whole thing for me.
Yeah, it's a little weird, but if you just think of the movie,
I don't think any of that's in any of the movies as far as
No.
But it's in the books.
Yeah, Hannibal 2, the sequel to that, that movie's really good as well. Then, you know, technically it's a scary movie, but scary movie. Scary movie's hilarious.
I want to mention here for a minute the Blair Witch Project. I got a lot of great movies out. Somebody texted me Children of the Corn. I love Children of the Corn.
Any of those? Children of the Corn.
The original? Kind of that whole same, you're kind of lost in a town and Malachi! Oh, that dude was so scary. That freaky guy. What was his name? Oliver or something. Anyway, I want to mention Blair Witch Project because when it came out, Blair Witch Project scared the bejesus out of everybody. I promise you, if you were in the theater watching Blair Witch Project, you're ready to pee your pants. Now we make fun of Blair Witch Project 25 years later, or whatever it is. We make fun of the girl. Her name is Heather Donahue. She got a Razzie Award for Worst Actress. For what they were doing, they revolutionized movie making. And it was one of those things that I think it became so big and so popular so fast that what do we do as a society? We have to tear it down. We root for underdogs, but if the underdog becomes too big for his britches, we start rooting against the underdogs. Mm-hmm. And so I've always had a problem with our country's reaction to Blair Witch Project because I watched in a jam-packed theater. I mean, jam-packed, 450 people in theater. I was in the very back row. My wife and I, when they're in the little shed at the end and she sees the dude standing in the corner, she's freaking the hell out. That is, to me, is as good as it gets. But yet, over time, Blair Witch Project 2 and 3, they were just absolute garbage. But for what they were doing with the found footage thing, it's a shame to me that that movie doesn't have a better lasting legacy as being frightening, because it really, really was at the time.
Yeah, found footage movies, that was the first big one. That was the first one. And you think about it, it almost feels like you can just make that yourself. You can just walk out there and...
They kind of did. Yes, I want to say the budget was like $75,000 or something.
It might
ludicrous.
Be less than that. Let me pull up the budget
real
quick.
Yeah, I believe for a time, and I don't know if it's still the case, for a time, it was the single most profitable movie of all time. It cost like $50,000.
$60,000.
$60,000, and it made how much? $150 million?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, let me...
So in terms of just the what they spent versus what they made, most profitable movie...
$250
million. $250
million
off of a $60,000.
That's just box office, yeah. Dude. That's just box...
So that goes to show that we loved it in this country, and yet then we started making fun of it. I remember Sherry O'Terry did a Saturday Night Live skit where snot was coming out of her nose, where she was reenacting the girl being all scared. My God, that was petrifying, though, at the time.
Yeah, I mean, that laid the groundwork for that genre of movie, and that genre of movie, I think, is some of the scariest type of stuff, because it feels like that is very close to reality.
Where are you on the Paranormal Activity stuff? Because
I hate it.
Okay, I do not believe in ghosts, period. If you disagree, fine. If I offend you, fine. I do not believe in ghosts. I do not believe that there are dead spirits. I believe that when you die, you're gone. That's it. It's like you go, you're nowhere. You're not coming back. But there are a lot of people in this world who absolutely believe in ghosts. They swear that there are ghosts in their house. They swear that they've talked to ghosts, blah, 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 blah. So to me, the Paranormal Activity kind of whole genre is silly. I don't understand the notion that people would be interested in this kind of stuff, because I thought it was all just a giant farce. But that's kind of for my personal opinion of not believing in ghosts at all.
Yeah, I do believe in ghosts. I think there is, I think it's kind of a hearsay. I don't know how to think about it, because I don't think there's concrete evidence that does exist. But I think that weird stuff happens in weird times that makes me question things.
If you believe that.
That's why
it does make sense that, like, those Paranormal Activity movies would be very scary.
That's why I can't watch them, because I'm afraid I'm actually going to be freaked out by them.
Okay.
I can deal with the Michael Myers and the Jason Voorhees, because that stuff ain't real. I'm afraid.
No way.
I'm afraid something's going to, grab my shoulder when I'm sleeping or something, and then I'm just going to be freaked out. And
so you're too scared to watch a paranormal kind of movie.
That, like, Paranormal Activity, that's where I draw the line.
Interesting.
Because I don't want to.
Because you can suspend disbelief for Michael Myers.
Yes,
that's
absolutely
not happening. Mm-hmm. But the ghost thing, okay.
Yes,
all right.
So that's why I thought The Exorcist was so scary, is because.
Lay down on the couch and we're going to talk about it. This will be your first psychology session, and you have to pay me $100 for hearing your scary, scary theories about ghost stories.
Yes, I don't have any encounters with ghosts or anything. The only thing I can think of was I was home alone one time, probably when I was like 10, and I heard this loud bang upstairs. Something probably fell, but instantly I thought, like, oh my God, what's going on?
Okay, I have to share this. The movie that impacted me the most in my entire life, in any genre whatsoever, okay? I will personally admit this. I'm not overly religious right now. I don't really get into that kind of stuff on the show, but I'm not overly religious. Okay. But when I was about 7 years old, my mom took me and I think my brother and her boyfriend at the time, we went to this neighboring church. It was like 20 minutes away. They were doing like this vacation Bible school kind of thing, or I don't know what the heck they're called. It was the Southern Baptist. They're doing this revival. I think it's called a revival.
Yeah.
So, okay. So they're doing this, and they're showing this movie. Now, this is 1980, okay? This is 1980, 81. I'm like 7 years old, okay? And for the first night, we watched this movie. I didn't find out the name of this movie until very much later on in life, but mm-hmm. We watched this movie at this church. And it's kind of a cheesy TV movie kind of thing. Everybody wakes up in the morning. And you see the guy mowing his yard with the lawnmower, and then, like, they cut back to it in a few seconds, and the lawnmower's there by itself. Guy's gone. You see somebody shaving at the sink in the morning, cut back a few seconds later, the water's running, shaving cream there, nobody there. Guy driving a car, all of a sudden the car hits another car. Obviously, people disappeared here.
Yeah.
Well, it was the rapture.
Okay.
The rapture came, and God took almost everybody. Almost everybody. He left behind like the non-believers. Okay. I watched this at 7 years old. Okay. And this, again, this is some cheesy movie. I found out years later, this is called A Thief in the Night. I think it's from 1972. That's the name of the movie. And no seven-year-old should watch this stuff. This is how religion screws you over, like making you just so afraid of everything. Because I was a latchkey kid. I'd come home from school at 8, 9, 10 years old, let myself in. Mom and dad work until 5, 6 o'clock. I'm home by myself from 2:30 till 5:30. I kid you not. I'm being completely serious here. For 5 years, if my mom or dad were late, I thought the rapture had come and I'd be gotten left behind. And I'd walk out in my neighborhood and I would be scared to death looking for people. I mean, this screwed me up for a long time, thinking that, oh my God, God's coming down and he's taking some of us, but I got left behind. It's called A Thief in the Night. I didn't go back for the second part, but you had to get like the mark of the beast on you. It was this whole religion is terror thing, and God will rain down his vengeance upon those who don't believe. So it was meant to scare the bejesus out of you, literally, or to scare the bejesus into you. So, but of any movie I've ever watched, that movie impacted on a not so much day-to-day, but maybe month-to-month scenario. That impacted me for a good 5-6 years of my life.
I'm trying to think of movies that have impacted me that, because I was looking
from a personal standpoint.
Probably Office Space. I'm joking completely. I saw that. I saw someone put that on like a thing. I could not say that. I love that movie, but. I was thinking, I really don't know what is.
He's at the building on fire.
Oh, love Milton. Love Milton.
That's a great line, man.
The Matrix it makes you question everything.
You know what? Oh, man, that's great. I actually buy more into, do you believe the theory at all in any way that we are in a Matrix? That our existence is literally a million, billion years from now or whatever?
I really don't think so.
You don't buy into it in the least?
I can rationalize it, but I don't buy into it.
Yeah, I don't really buy into it, but if you think about, and this is all, the Matrix introduced all of this. Mm-hmm. Like, if you think about Atari games, have you seen Atari games from the late 70s, early 80s?
Yeah, yeah.
You've seen it? You've seen the graphics, right?
Yes, yes.
Have you seen Nintendo games from the late 80s,
yes,
what the characters look like?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Nintendo games from the 90s, what the characters look like?
Yes.
Have you seen NBA 2000 or NBA stuff and Madden and what the characters look like now?
Yes.
They look like 99% more real than they did in 1983. Would you agree with that?
100%.
Give it a million years. How possible is it that you think some computer programmer in a million years, we've improved what characters look like. We can give grades to all these EA Sports college football players and NFL players, and we can simulate games to the degree that the national mainstream media runs simulations on games based on how EA Sports puts their lineups together. What if in a million years, the Matrix, these people have perfected to 99.999999 to a billion nines what human beings are actually like?
That'd be crazy.
I never really gave it a lot of thought until about 10 years ago.
It'd be crazy. Are you a conspiracy theorist in any way?
I am not in any way. I think flat earthers are the dumbest people in the world.
Yes.
We have millions of people that believe we did not land on the moon. I at least put, and this is a big number, I put a 3-4% chance that we are living in a matrix in a million or a billion years from now.
That's pretty high. That's pretty high. Is there anything else crazy at you?
That's probably the only thing. Here's one other thing. The universe is so big, it's hard for me to believe that it's actually real. Because I watch a lot of universe stuff. I watch a lot of Neil deGrasse Tyson. We cannot even fathom the trillions and trillions and trillions of galaxies. It would take us like a million years to cross our galaxy at light speed. That's one galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
If we could even travel light speed. There are trillions and there's supposed to be trillions and trillions and trillions of other galaxies. It's hard for, I think, the human brain to calculate the size of something like that. So to me, I kind of put those two together a little bit and maybe think that whatever programmers might have done to us a billion years from now, they've programmed this fake universe out there that just leads us to believe that all that stuff is real.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. That's the only conspiracy theory that I will remotely give any credit to. If you think the Earth is flat, you're a moron.
I don't think the Earth's flat. The one thing I'm so fascinated about, and this is so off track from horror movies, I don't know how the pyramids got built. I think that is the most interesting thing to study. I think that we need an answer for that. I think okay. we need a concrete
there's
answer.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Because there's so much weird stuff, like, with, I believe, where they're built and the degree they're built in certain ways, like, towards the Earth. There's a lot.
If we are not in a matrix, the chances that we are the only advanced civilization in the universe
that's what I mean.
is not possible.
How could this be built back 2,000 years ago with no machinery?
Correct.
There was something
it
lost.
It seems like there could have been some type of extraterrestrial force or whatever.
Or our civilization got wiped out and we lost all that technology with the crazy. Like, that could be something. It's so weird to think about.
The thing that people say that we're alone in the universe, well, it's – I just told you there are literally trillions and trillions and trillions of galaxies. Out of those, there are trillions and trillions of Earth-like planets where anything could have happened over the course of 13 billion years, including the possibility of aliens programming us for their damn Super Nintendo 2024 system.
So we've got two drivers already locked into the Championship 4 race at Phoenix. They are Joey Logano and Tyler Reddick, which means there are six drivers that can win their way in by winning this weekend at Martinsville, or two drivers that get in on points. So one win and 1 point or 2 points is going to get it done. And is there two Tyler Reddicks, the old one and the brand new one with Michael Jordan and 2311 Racing? Here he is.
Yeah, that Tyler wasn't very good at Phoenix, but I feel like since I came over 2311 and working with, you know, becoming a driver in a Toyota Camry, I've certainly gotten a bit better at Phoenix. So look back to the spring and we were really, really solid. Obviously, Christopher found something in that race that set him apart from the rest of the field, but it's something that we've been thinking about since that first race. How can we go back there and compete with Christopher? And so it's been on our mind. We've been thinking about it. We've had a lot of season between now and then, but the work that we put in after Phoenix should certainly help us as we prepare for this race coming up. We got extra time to just think about Phoenix now. That's going to be good for us. So I have faith in my team. You know, they know how to execute a fast stop, and for them, they can just solely focus on Phoenix for the next week and a half, if you will, before we get there.
This is the final lap.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Tesnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text SLASH to 321321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text SLASH to 321321. That's SLASH to 321321.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasure Valley Boulevard. Mel and Chris have meals to go. Hot, delicious homemade meals served up from 1130 to 2. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy. Or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5:30. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. 943-6328. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
Hank FM.
All right, so did not give your Penn State Ohio State pick yet, right?
I did not.
I got Ohio State 30-20. You gave a good explanation earlier for especially Ohio State's wide receivers and the potential for Penn State's secondary to struggle, and I think that's going to be the game. I don't think this is a great Penn State defense. They don't have Joey Porter Jr. back there. I think Ohio State's going to be able to move the ball through the air. You seem to agree with that.
Yeah, 100%. Do we have an update on Sutton Smith? Is he planning on going?
Dennis Sutton?
Yeah, or Dan Sutton, yeah.
My guess would be no.
You don't think he's going to go?
I mean, when you miss the second half 1 week, until you prove that you can play, I mean, even if he can go, is he 100%? I don't think Drew Aller's going to be 100%. I think Drew's going to be 80 to 90%.
Not at all. I'm going to – listen, the only reason I'm going to do this is because Corey has picked Ohio State – and in our picks, I want to differentiate. I really think
Nathan through 7 weeks is up by 10 freaking games, and you can't let it go to where we have the same pick, right? But here's it: you don't want to pick against Penn State. That's what it is.
I could pick against them because I think they are going to lose this game right now.
But you're not going to pick.
I'm not going to do it because for the reason I'm not going to do it is strictly because this is a good swing if I can get this. And I think there's a good chance Penn State can win this game.
They can.
Right now, I put it about 65-35% chance.
I might even go 60-40. They can win. They compete with Ohio State as well as anybody in the country. If Will Howard sucks, you know,
it takes one bad mistake where they might be able, like,
remember,
if Abel Carter comes off the edge, strip sack or something like that.
Kurse Jacobs returned that fumble for a touchdown last year, gave Penn State the lead.
Called back
on a penalty by King, Kalen King. So that goes to show, and Penn State was terrible last year.
Yeah,
and yet they actually would have had the lead if not for a penalty there.
Yeah, I mean, it was a one score game until the fourth quarter. I mean, I think at least. So I'm gonna go Penn State on the off chance that they do win this game. It swings in the momentum and our picks. So I'm gonna go with them, but I don't feel good about it one bit. I feel like it's gonna be a very close game, but this is a spot in which both coaches also struggle in. You know, Ryan Day against top five teams, he has a horrendous record, and Franklin against top 10 teams is a horrendous record.
Right.
So.
I'm gonna give my final word on our scary movie thing. Have you seen The Mist?
I have not. I've heard of it.
Will you ever watch The Mist? Because I'm gonna ruin it. The Mist is 20 years old.
Good.
It's Stephen King. Frank Darabont directed it. The guy who did Shawshank Redemption. It's got a lot of the same people from Walking Dead.
Okay.
Laurie's in it. All right. So The Mist is the worst ending of any movie I've ever seen.
I've heard that.
The most traumatic ending of any movie. I'm going to spoil the movie. If you ever want to watch The Mist, don't listen now, Nathan. I'm sorry. But basically, they open up a portal to another planet, and these gigantic skyscraper-sized monsters come into Earth through a mist and start killing everybody. So all these people are locked into a supermarket, and the monsters are killing everybody. So you got a basic monster story. At the end, the father, his son, and a few friends, they escape in an SUV. He's got 4 bullets left, and there are 5 people in the car. And he had already made a promise to his son that he would not let the monster get him. And at the end of The Mist, he kills his son.
I was going to say, that's where it had to go.
And then he gets out of the car, and the monsters are gone. All the aliens are gone. Humanity has survived. Everything's just gone. So in the span of 15 seconds, he killed his boy and then found out that he didn't have to. And that's it. That's the end of the movie.
It's wild.
I watched it 10, 12 years ago. Was blown away. My wife watched it again the next day with her. she just started bawling and said, "Why did you make me watch that?" Now that I have a son who's about the same age as the kid in the movie, to think that you're going to do whatever you can to protect your child from a horrific death by aliens so that you shoot him in the head. They don't show it. They just show bullets going off in the SUV.
Yeah.
They don't show it. And then 15 seconds later, he realizes that it's all gone. It's all over. Wow.
It's wild.
It's the most traumatic. I will never watch The Mist ever again.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips and snacks for your Halloween party or trick-or-treat, great times and great snacks go hand-in-hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets, too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks from Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with two branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax. On everyday products, it will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris, a better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising. Hank FM.
All right, our Halloween show. Did you want to mention any more movies there at the end of the show, Nathan?
Nah, I'm not. I ain't got nothing in my head. But let me ask Corey. Give me top three candies right now. Give me.
Oh yeah, shoot!
Zero candy.
I completely forgot.
Because I
about,
see all your Butterfingers.
I brought my Butterfingers in. I had eaten like five or six Butterfingers my whole life until like 6 months ago, and now I'm on this Butterfinger kick. Mm. Is it too late in life to like switch your favorite candy down the road?
No, not at all. But I will say I'm probably always gonna be a Reese's guy. Oh, Reese's
the peanut butter so cups.
Peanut butter cups.
Now, do you say Reese's or Reese's?
Both.
You should have said Reese's.
Interchangeable.
I hear so many people say Reese's.
Reese's.
I say Reese's, but a lot of people say Reese's.
Yeah.
So you're going to Reese's?
Reese's will probably be Reese's or... Yeah, Reese's is going to be number one.
Mine
Reese's.
Was always like Twix, but now I'm on the Butterfinger kit.
I love Butterfingers too. Not a bad pick.
Happy Halloween.
Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona. Hank is W.